This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, or what, Tuesday, that's stupid, a Thursday, I was testing you, Chris, on a Thursday, and it's going to be a wonderful Thursday. We have so much in store for you tonight. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, because I have another work thing tomorrow, nothing I can do about that. We're going to talk about traitors in our midst, amnesty, you have questions about that, the demoralization of Americans, specifically younger Americans. What do we do moving forward as a party when Trump is gone? How do we deal with the Arctic frost stuff? How can it be that they didn't do anything we can send them to prison for? We even have historical things like the most lopsided invasion in history, and someone wants to know why I don't take phone calls. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. So, but I wanted to actually begin here with this one. Oracle of the airwaves. After Tuesday's election results, Donald Trump said the reason for the election results was because the name Trump wasn't on the ballot, and I agree. I'm reading the book, Under Siege, so on and so forth, talks about the MAGA movement. It seems to me that any member of the Trump family could be elected as president. What say you? Should we work for Eric Trump as president? All right. So, let me put it this way. My sons. You know, I'm a father. I have two sons. I am adamant that they will work with their hands. Well, for James, starting about now. He's done with his sports season for a little bit. He's got time. Now it's time to get a job and a physical job of some kind. Don't care whether you're pounding nails, doing concrete work, electrical, plumbing, something in the heat, in the cold, work with your hands. Do I want him? Do I demand that he do that for a living the rest of his life? No, that's not my call. He's going to grow up and make his own decisions. And that's not necessarily my desire. I want him to be a good man, provides for his wife and his kids. That's what I want for them. But I want them to work with their hands now the way I did for really most of my adult life. Why? What is the purpose? Well, I need my sons to learn what a hard day's work is. Whether or not they do that the rest of their lives, whatever they end up doing, maybe it'll be something with computers, maybe one of them will do this, maybe I need them to understand, one, the working man, the working woman, long hours, heat, cold, discomfort, and understanding that and learning that will benefit them the rest of their lives. Essentially, I need to give them the fundamentals of what a hard day of work is. What's this have to do with Donald Trump and the future of the Republican Party? Well, Donald Trump is an unbelievably unique figure. Unique figure. Anybody who's followed politics for any length of time knows this. Love or hate, we just haven't seen anything like him. Somebody who just speaks off the cuff the way he speaks. Somebody who will openly talk about sometimes things you love, sometimes things you hate. Sometimes you want him to shut up. Sometimes he makes you stand up and cheer. But he is unapologetically who he is, bombastic, charismatic, just different, very, very different than what we've known in politics. And because of that, he has enamored the American people on really both sides. Most of the people on the right love him, vote for him, have voted for him multiple times, and they see so much of politics through the Trump lens. And most people on the left, vice versa, think he's the Antichrist. Everything he does is wrong. Everything ties back to him. Okay, you got it. But no matter what, it's undeniable. The political world for a decade has revolved around Donald Trump. His first election, it was Trump, Trump. No one talked about Hillary Clinton. She was hardly mentioned in the news. Trump, 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 Trump. Trump's the best. Trump's the devil. Trump's the best. Trump's the devil. Even in the election they stole, Joe Biden goes out, steals the election. They walk into the White House. Joe Biden, for 4 years, made it all about Trump. Trump and MAGA. Remember MAGA this and ultra MAGA and mega MAGA, how they were clearly poll testing how to MAGA this and MAGA that. Now, back to being all about Trump. We're 25 years in. We're a quarter of the way in to the 21st century. And Donald Trump is the seminal figure on the planet. Think about that. The figure on planet Earth for a quarter of the 21st century is our president, Donald Trump. Now, that can be good. It can be wonderful. And it can also be bad to the point of disaster. Why? When a guy like that leaves, when he's gone, figuring out how to move forward without that central figure, that sun where everything revolves around him, figuring out how to move forward without that can be so, so difficult for so many people. Maybe this is you, maybe it's not. Maybe you're more of an independent thinker, but for so many people on the right, it's just Trump. They don't have Republican signs. They have Trump signs. They don't have Republican hats or their senator's hat or whatever. They have Trump hats. They have Make America Great Again hats. It's about Trump. I drive through Texas. Where I live is Texas. We just took a long road trip not that long ago. You drive through rural Texas. There's not a single solitary homemade sign for any Republican you can find anywhere in rural Texas, but you will see Donald Trump on billboards. You will see Donald Trump's name spray painted on fences. He is the central figure. So after he leaves, surely we need another one, right? We have to have another one. Go get Eric. Someone called Don. Don Jr., who I like a lot. I know him. I like him a lot. But here's the problem with that. Donald Trump has become such a central figure that we've lost sight of fundamentals. We've lost sight of so many of the things that work. How is it we still have candidates running for governor who can't raise money, who don't go out and register voters? How is it that we are still lacking in so many of the basic fundamentals, the blocking and tackling that wins elections? You know how? Well, having Trump there covered up a lot of those things. You know, you bring in Michael Jordan to your basketball team, you can get a little lax on, maybe we don't need a point guard that's that great. Maybe we don't have to focus on rebounding as much. We've got Michael Jordan, and you fall into this trap of Jordan this and Jordan that, and we won't get as many rebounds. Maybe don't we have the point guard, but Michael Jordan will pull it out in the end. He's Michael Jordan. But then Michael Jordan retires one day, and you don't have a point guard, and nobody can rebound, and you go on and lose almost every game in the season. I have voiced this to you before, and I'm voicing it to you right now. I am concerned what happens to our movement for a while. We'll figure it out eventually. I am concerned what happens to our movement post-Donald Trump. And this is from somebody who is very impressed with J.D. Vance, as I've told you about. This is not about the next guy, whoever that may be, whether it's Vance, or DeSantis, whoever it may be. It's not about them. It's certainly not a knock on them at all. We have looked at Trump. We've looked to Trump for 10 years. And now the very thought of not having a Trump on the ballot to motivate voters, but well, let's go find another one. Get Ivanka out here. God forbid. But we don't need another Trump. If the America First movement is only a Trump movement, it's going to die. It will not succeed. Because Donald Trump, as an incredible a figure as he is just a man. Just like you and just like me. He's 80 years old, give or take. I don't know his exact age. I think he's 79. But he's 80 years old. Donald Trump might die tonight. Heart attack or something like that. God forbid. Obviously, no, I don't want that. But we wake up tomorrow and there's no Trump. The America First movement cannot die. We have to go back to fundamentals. We have to remember and learn fundamentals. The future of the America First movement cannot be dragging anybody with the name of Trump off the couch and throwing them up on stage, because it will fail. It will fail. It's doomed to failure if it's only a Trump movement. It has to be more. It has to be bigger than that. That is not the solution going forward. But we will talk a bit about the solution a little bit more in a moment. You know what hit a record today? Again. Go ahead and guess. I sound like a broken record at this point in time. Gold. I keep telling, I feel like we could just replay the same thing over and over again. Buy gold and get it in your retirement before it hits another record and you're mad at yourself for not doing it. I know there are options. Who do you call? I'm not sure. Should I stop by the pawn shop? Just call Gold Co. Call the company that has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Call the company that has earned over 6,000 five-star reviews. You don't have to be an expert on stocks or gold or silver or anything. All you have to know is a phone number. 855-817-GOLD or visit jessielikesgold.com. Don't let it hit another record and you don't have any. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. A wonderful Thursday. I cannot get the smile off my face. Chopping away at all these questions. We suffered an election loss on Tuesday night, and people are looking around and they're hurting and they're looking for explanations. And I'm kind of answering a question. Do we need another Trump? People don't get motivated to vote when Trump's not on the ballot. How do we handle this? But this goes back to what I was talking about, how we have to learn fundamentals again. Trump has driven so much motivation for so long that we have lost sight of fundamentals. And in some cases, we never learn fundamentals. So I want to discuss this again. I touched on this a little bit. I think it was last night. It was last night. About something that happened locally in my area. And this is going to sound very, very boring. Just stay with me for a couple minutes. Believe me, it matters. We had elections in Texas on Tuesday. All kinds of amendments and things like that. But there were also these bonds, school bond things, locally in many different jurisdictions here in the state. On my ballot, every one of these bonds had language, and I told you about this yesterday, in bold letters. The rest of the description of the bond was just typed out normally, but in bold, all capital letters, leading off everything on the ballot, it said, and I quote, "This is a tax increase." They shouted it at you. They were all defeated. That had a big hand in it. They were all defeated. People read that. You really don't read the rest of it. Nope, not taxing me anymore. Now, language on the ballot, is that something you've ever thought about, considered? Who decides what language? Do you know when that language was decided for the ballot? Do you know when? September 1st, 2025. Jewish producer Chris dug into it today, dug up the actual date they decided on that language. Do you know there was activism behind getting that language on the ballot? Now, boy, wasn't that boring? That was like 2 minutes. Isn't that boring? ballot language and school bonds and who cares about that? Can't I just go to a rally? But that's what wins elections. And if you don't do that, that's what loses elections. Georgia, state I dearly love, Georgia had a rough night on Tuesday too. Really rough night. Republican areas losing in Georgia. How can this be? Surely it's the economy. People are mad at Trump. Okay, well, some of that stuff may be true, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I have a lot of friends in Georgia. Most of my Georgia friends did not even know there was an election. The ones who did, they found out about it last minute and went and voted. The general public had no idea there were elections. Who's going to show up if no one knows the election is happening? Super motivated communists who hate Donald Trump and want to burn the country down. They will find out about it. They will show up. Normal Americans who don't want their country burnt down won't show up. Like I said last night, every race tells its own tale. So what happened there? We didn't do blocking and tackling. We didn't raise money, organize, get out the vote, notify friends, family, neighbors. And this is the kind of thing, and I'll touch on this actually in a little bit. This is the kind of thing that frustrates people like you, and it's totally understandable. I know it frustrates you because it frustrates me. I take the time. I know about every election. It's very easy. I find out about the election. My wife and I, we dig in. We do some research, oftentimes a couple days beforehand, if we're not already working on the campaign, which happens as well. But we dig in. We do the research. We not only show up at the polls. We tell friends. We tell same thing you do. We do the same thing. And people who don't, we get angry. We get frustrated. Don't you care? Why aren't you involved? Why aren't you... You can beat your head against the wall and yell and scream at your normie neighbor who doesn't know and doesn't care, but all that's going to do is stress you out. You're better off coming to a place, and I'm pointing fingers at me. I'm better off coming to a place of acceptance that my normie neighbors who do love the country are never going to care like I care. They're never going to be involved like I am involved, and I have to be their involvement. That is not fair, but you know how much I hate that word. Life isn't fair. You have a burden your neighbors don't have. Don't feel, I should say. I wish they had the sense of duty you have. I wish they would get involved. I wish they would. They don't. We have to drag them out. Why did we lose elections in Bucks County, Pennsylvania? Why did we lose elections in Georgia? Why did we lose here? Why did we lose there? We love to make these big, broad statements. Hey, we lost because of blank. Sounds good on a bumper sticker. It's a very good headline. Made a good tweet. But each and every candidate, each and every campaign has its own story. We have got to now. We can't wait till 2028. Now. I'm not saying you have to put your Trump hat away. Not at all. We have got to accept he's gone. You will never vote for Donald Trump ever again. He's gone. We have to learn blocking and tackling now, again. Now, what is the blocking and tackling of elections? Working on campaigns, knocking on doors, phone banking, registering new voters, maybe donating money to a campaign if you can't, maybe running for office yourself. The lame, non-sexy things that don't get you on the news, that's what wins. Donald Trump will not carry you to a single other election win, period. Look, ZipRecruiter can lead you to water, but it can't make you drink. I know you need a new employee. I know you're frustrated with the market out there. I can't find anyone. No one will show up. That's because you're looking in the wrong place. ZipRecruiter has who you need. They have all the best employees at ZipRecruiter because everyone knows ZipRecruiter is number one and they know that's where employers go. So that employee you need, whether they be temporary, maybe for Christmas, or somebody permanent, someone you need established, they're sitting right there at ZipRecruiter. Go take advantage of their smart technology. They will find you someone and fast. You're not months away. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody on day one. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. You will get a quality candidate fast. You don't have time. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right? We'll move on. Someone's mad about the economy. Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's dig into this. Jesse, I just wanted to say you were spot on about us Trump-loving conservatives support wearing thin. I need to clarify what I was what I said in case you didn't listen last night. And this is something I've been touching on a lot. And the Trump administration is aware of this. People have not felt life being more affordable over the last 10 months. Doesn't mean that's a fair criticism, by the way. I'm not saying it's fair or unfair, but fair life is not fair. That's not what it's about. Many people voted for Donald Trump because Joe Biden made life unaffordable with his insane spending, which caused inflation. Now, and maybe this describes you, now people aren't making it. They can't find a job. They can't make ends meet. And there's a lot of these people. Maybe this is you. And these people don't care about Ukraine. They don't. They don't care about Israel, Hamas. They don't care about Venezuela. They don't care about the South China Sea. They don't care. They're not interested in it. When you are bleeding money, when you can't afford to get by, or maybe you're barely getting by and you can't afford, you know what? Let's go out for Mexican food on Friday night because you don't have an extra $90 laying around. People don't want to hear about any of the other things. They want life to become affordable. That's what I said. And by the way, the Trump administration knows this. They're starting to put out public statements. They're going to start focusing 100% on affordability and domestically and things like that. Anyway, so back to the email. It makes me sad to even think about. I'm a 66-year-old retired. I'm 66 years old. I'm retired. I just had to cancel my cable, and I love my TV, Jesse. I can't afford it anymore. I meet my friends once a month at a local restaurant. The rest of the time, I'm working in my small yard and taking long walks. I'm content, but times are tough, Jesse. President Trump and Republicans need to focus on home. Thanks. I love the show. I listened to you on my last walk of the day. I love that. So I'm going to read you something. This came out from Fortune magazine. And this is something that both parties are slowly becoming aware of. But the political party who figures out how to fix this, and we're going to talk about fixing it in a moment, the political party who figures out how to fix this is going to be the political party that dominates American leadership for years and years and years. Here it is. This is from Fortune magazine. 15 million more adults under the age of 35 are living with their parents compared to a decade ago. 15 million. Compared to 2015, there are 15 million more Americans living with their parents. Now, you, me, we could sit down over some Cheddar Bay biscuits and we can argue or just discuss all night long the reasons for that. We could talk about that. There's no question. But here's the truth. That situation has to change. You know what? In fact, let's pause on that for a second. Let's go historically. Do you know what spells impending doom for any and every society historically? Doom. It is the death of every society. You know what? One of the main things? If you have a large percentage of disaffected young men. Young men are aspirational. They are full of testosterone. They want a goal in life. And I know women are the same way. I'm just discussing a historical trend. Young men need something to strive for. They need to believe it's attainable, something to fight for. And if you ever find a place where your society has a bunch of young men who feel like society has left them, maybe they're listless, maybe they feel like things are hopeless, your society is in for huge, huge problems. So let's expand that and go back to what we were just talking about. We have legions and legions and legions of young people now living with their parents because they can't find a good job, because inflation has gotten so bad they can't even afford an apartment. You most definitely can't afford a mortgage. The home affordability is in the toilet. This situation cannot continue, or we're going to have big, big, big problems. And the situation is also intentional, keep in mind. Do not lose sight of the fact that the mass importation of foreigners to crowd Americans out of jobs, to make life more unaffordable for Americans, that has been intentional. The entire idea behind it was taking America away from Americans. And the point of that, of course, is, well, foreigners aren't going to stress about such things. It doesn't even mean they're bad, by the way. When I speak about foreigners, they don't know anything about the Constitution or freedom, or they don't care about that. They're not tied to your history, your community. They're not tied to that at all. You bring them in, give them some free housing, give them some free groceries, they think you're all right. But why is life so much more affordable for Americans? Let's let AOC take it away.
Just in this slice of New York City alone, we represent over 100 languages and cultures. We welcome people of all religions, faiths, and creeds. We honor all genders, races, orientations, and status. And here, we defend immigrants.
Americans are sitting around living with their parents at 30 years old, no house, no job. You did everything right. You went to college, got a degree, and then you're watching your politicians get up and brag about how many languages are spoken in the area and how much they love immigrants. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Americans are fed up and angry. And they have to be, these concerns have to be addressed, or people don't care about anything else. You know, speaking of historically, because I have this sick fascination with some of the worst parts of history, wars and famines and hurricanes and floods, I guess I'm probably similar to you in that, maybe. Because of that, you know, want to know what's wild? How selfish people become when they're starving. The most wonderful, God-fearing, kindest person in the world will reach down and rip a loaf of bread out of a two-year-old's hands when they're hungry enough. The American citizen has watched his country become unaffordable and the American dream become unattainable as we've brought in 50, 60 million foreigners into the country, and they don't want to hear about Venezuela. They just don't care. They don't care. We have to address it. I have to address something. Where are you at on pajamas? You know, Cozy Earth, I told you about Ab lives and dies for their pajamas. It's like these silky, stretchy things. She just loves them. It's all she wears now, to bet, is their pajamas. They sell men's pajamas as well. They sent me a set. But I don't wear pajamas. I wear underwear a bit, like most dudes, just my underwear. Last night I wore the pajamas, and as I was crawling into bed, instead of taking them off, I left them on. I didn't hate it. What, Chris? Are you, Chris, Corey, pajamas? Either of you pajama guys? Chris is no, Corey's a no. I don't want to say I'm a pajama guy. I'm not saying I'm a pajama guy. They're really comfortable, man. They're really comfortable. And they're stretchy. What? No, it's not that Cozy Earth made me a pajama guy. I don't want to blame them at all. I'm not saying that. They were really nice. That's what I'm saying. They're really nice. I'm not a pajama guy. I'm a robe guy. You know that. Look, you can be both. Do you want to try them? Maybe some Cozy Earth sheets, whether or not you have pajamas on or not. It's Black Friday time at Cozy Earth. Up to 40% off site-wide. By the way, Christmas is coming. You want to stock up on Christmas gifts everybody adores? CozyEarth.com. Promo code Jesse is how you get these discounts, though. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. Be a robe guy, maybe a pajama guy. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse the Conqueror. We were antelope hunting, listening to your plan to conquer the Western Hemisphere when my boy asked what was the most lopsided modern invasion. I considered Poland and France, but I actually believe it was Iraq in 2003. I know the occupation went badly, but the invasion itself was the masterclass in combined arms. All right, one, your kid sounds freaking awesome. Two, I'm certainly not going to put down the invasion I was part of. Believe me, I wasn't an important part of it. Right? I was just one dumb grunt, all right? But I don't know if this counts because it was such a mismatch is the thing. These tyrants, historically, these tyrants, especially from countries like this, what they are, there's a huge difference between mean and tough. Mean and tough. These tyrants are generally mean. So if this tribe or this village is getting out of line, oh, they'll go drop a chemical weapon on it. Maybe show up, grab the mayor and pull his fingernails out in front of the whole town and shoot him in the head. But does that make you tough? You showed up with all the guns. They didn't have any. You pulled his fingernails out. You're not a tough guy. You're mean. It's evil. So what happens is these countries, they run into a technologically advanced military power that is tough, and they just get smashed immediately. Iraqi culture, and from my experience with it, is unbelievably soft. When we would run into dudes, whether they be in uniform or out of uniform, whatever it was, just kind of pudgy and soft. Americans, I don't think, understand and appreciate how good American military training is and how much more manly American culture is than a lot of foreign cultures. Maybe you don't consider yourself military ready or something like that. No, you just you played basketball for 10 years. I used to play football in high school, but you haven't done that in 10 years or so. Maybe you're a little flabby around the midsection. No. You don't understand. You are more military ready than so many societies around the globe. This was a long way of saying, I don't necessarily think that invasion should count in your question, because they just weren't ready. They just absolutely were not ready. The casualties we took in Iraq, in large part, and I know there were some and we were fighting, I got that, but the casualties we took in large part were, again, not from tough guys, from terrorists who slipped across the border after the invasion and started setting off bombs and blowing things up. And I know they put up a fight in places like Fallujah, where it was a lot of urban fighting, and it was brutal. I'm certainly not denying that, but that wasn't necessarily Iraqi culture. That was a lot of Islamic terrorist culture. The Iraqi culture, I don't know. I would say the invasion of France. Most people do not fully understand and appreciate this. And you don't understand and appreciate it because the Nazis are freaking the spawn of Satan. So nobody wants to ever pay any compliments to the Nazi army or Hitler or something like that. But on paper, France, not that they should have held their own against Germany. They should have beaten Germany by any metric. If you look at the number of troops and tanks and things like that, and they were on the defense, not the offense. It's easier to be on the defense than the offense because you're fighting in your home territory, territory you know, your fortifications, your supplies. It was considered by many of Hitler's generals to be borderline suicidal to invade France. Hitler got, now he was an all-powerful dictator, so you couldn't go too far if you were a general, but about as much pushback as you could possibly get. That's how much Hitler got from his generals when he said, we're going into France. They said, what? No, look, okay, we can beat up Belgium. Maybe we'll give you Poland. They're not quite the France. Dude, we can't match France. What, Chris? Chris said, wasn't that part of the Schlieffen plan? The Schlieffen plan was World War I, buddy. I'm actually glad you pay attention. I'm quite impressed. But yes, in all seriousness, Hitler's invasion of France in World War II was almost kind of a continuation of the Schlieffen plan. You push forward, smash through France as fast as possible. So you're not necessarily wrong, but the Schlieffen plan was World War I. That's where they implemented the Schlieffen plan. Anyway, World War II, France should have won. At least on paper, they should have won. But okay, you give them that. They were caught flat-footed. They were broken down after World War I. But to fall that quickly is insane. And yes, obviously the German war machine was very, very impressive, especially at that time, before they were starving, before they started running out of stuff, before we started starving them of resources. Really, it was the invasion of Russia that doomed them. But that was absurdly lopsided for what should have been pretty equal. That's Ali Frazier. In boxing, everyone knows Ali Frazier, and they went to war three times. They have to go to the hospital. They just went to war three times, and they were both these gigantic stud monsters. It would be like Ali fighting Frazier and just knocking him out in the first round. That shouldn't happen. Even if he loses, okay, I understand. He might lose. Muhammad Ali's a really great fighter. He might lose, but you're not going to knock out Joe Frazier in the first round. It would be like Ali coming out and just storming through him in round one. Really, really lopsided. But not examined a lot, because the second you start touching on these sensitive subjects, you're praising Hitler. You know what kind of namby-pamby sensitive society we have now. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about Arctic Frost, why I don't take phone calls. We have so much to get to, and giving away free stuff. Before we do that, I have great news for you. Chalk. It's not free, but you can save a fortune right now. Chalk has, and they always do this at the end of the year, one of their biggest sales going on right now. If you get a Chalk subscription, you save a fortune. Don't pay full freaking price on things. I want your testosterone levels to go through the roof. Ladies, I want you to be full of energy and pep, and I want us all to do this naturally. Thanks to Chalk, we can. Here's what you need to do. Go to chalk.com/Jesse. Personally, I take a male vitality stack. It's what I take every day. Maybe you take a female vitality stack if you're a woman. No matter your age, young, old, you are going to feel such a difference in your life. Everything becomes better. You're better at home. You're better at work. You're better at school. Life is better. Your mood is better. Chalk.com/Jesse, C-H-O-Q, all right? Some Arctic Frost talk. Giving things away. Why I don't take phone calls. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.